In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I'm reading from 1 John, and it's the 15th verse. And this is what the Word of God says. Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First of all, let's look at the world. The world is not the earth. When John writes about the world, it's like God so loved the world. That's the earth. But this world is the world system, the way the world works. This is the world that Jesus says that I call you to live in it, but not to live be of it. To live in the world, but not to be of the world. That's what he said. And there's a big difference between being in the world and being of the world. The world is a world system. It is a system that has a ruler, and the ruler is Satan himself. So John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, what's in the world? Well, I'm going to tell you. Just snap on the television, okay? It'll tell you what's in the world. Or just look through a magazine. It'll tell you the things of the world. Okay, and then, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen, now he's going to have a complete description of the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Now, I want to go back now to the third chapter of Genesis, all right? And this is the basic experience of sin. You know, Obama talked about original sin, and he's an expert in original sin, you know. He'll just tell you all that you want to hear. But original sin, we're going to look at the original sin, and it's in Genesis 3, and we're going to see what's happened. It's alluring, you know. The world is alluring. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, oh, did God tell you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. Now let's go back to John again. For that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here we have the pride of life. You eat of this fruit, and you know, you shall become God. Okay, let's continue. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired, lust of the flesh, to make one wise, lust of the world. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat it, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat it. And their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked. Oh, yeah, you see, When John is writing, "For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," and it's not of the Father, but it's of the world, he's thinking of the whole story of Genesis. But not only the Genesis story, it's like that with every sin. You see, this is kind of like the rudimentary sin, the original sin. But you see, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. It's interesting, you know. Things really haven't changed from the first fall. All right? Let's give you an example, okay? There's so many examples, okay? Okay, you have someone in a business, you know, and they want to get to the top. And no matter what happens, they'll get to the top, no matter who they mess around with. Even if they have to sleep with the boss, be, you know, now it doesn't have to be a woman to sleep with the man boss. You can be anything you want. So what's it all about? So we have the lust of the pride of life. I want that. And then the lust of the flesh, you know, I'm going to sleep with the boss. And the lust of the eyes, and, you know, I'm going to have the top position. Oh, yeah, things haven't changed. You know, things have not changed. It's the same old experience that the devil threw into in Genesis 3. Things really haven't changed. Now we have taco sauce on it, okay? We give it a different little flavoring. The flavor is different, but the root is the same. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. You see, things haven't changed. Now we're going to take Mr. Obama, all right? We're going to take Mr. Obama. Now, I want to tell you, he is pleasant to the eyes and to the ears. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. And he will tell you anything you want to hear. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I remember him saying, I don't know if you remember this, I do, when he was candidate Obama, anyone making less than $50,000 a year will not pay taxes. I remember him saying that. And my eyes opened up and I said, I don't make $50,000. I'm not going to pay taxes. Now, I knew he was lying and I knew it was all about the pride of life. That I wouldn't have to pay taxes to have people do abortions. I'm thinking, this is a good man. I knew he wasn't. I knew he wasn't. Candidate Obama, I knew he wasn't a good man. Yeah, maybe he's a good man, but he doesn't stand for what he says. And you know, you're as good as your word. Then he said, you know, people, college tuitions are too high. We're going to lower college tuitions. Oh, yeah, he said all those things. Do you want to know what? The colleges all went up this year. Thank you, Mr. Obama, for lowering college tuitions, you know. You know, this is the lust of the eyes. You know, I don't have to pay what I'm paying. And, you know, the other day he says, we don't want to demonize people that are disagree with us. Well, do you know that candidate Obama voted that if a child be a botched abortion, and he was the only one in the Senate that voted this, if a child be a botched abortion, that child would not be fed, he would be killed. So the child is born alive, but we'll not feed him. He was the only one. Do you know when he said, we're going to make adoption more available? Do you know that Planned Parenthood and Obama are in bed together? Do you know that? Do you know that for the children that they kill, they get $1 million for every baby they kill? It just happens to come out that way. You Google it. See what the United States of America, your tax dollars give to Planned Parenthood, but we're going to make abortions a lot fewer. We're going to do that. Yeah. Do you know that when we need to buy something for a woman who's pregnant, we're not getting it from the government? Planned Parenthood gets our money to kill children. Do you know that? Do you also know that the first thing that our president did was to sign a presidential act that would kill, legalize, we would pay for abortions in Asia and Africa, and in Asia there were forced abortions and we would pay for them? Did you know that? Oh, but we're going to make adoption much more available. Oh yeah, it's the lust, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, you know? It's all these things at the beginning, and we don't want to demonize anybody. Well, you see, I'm going to tell you, if it slithers like a snake, and it goes through your hand slithering, and it looks like a snake, then it's a snake. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can say whatever you want to say. You can speak the words whatever you want to speak. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, you don't have to demonize Mr. Obama. Because you know what? He's into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he will tell you, he will sweet talk you into anything you want to believe. That's him, okay? And we elected him, so we're stuck with him. I pray for his safety. It's a very important thing that he be safe, because we'll have a civil war in the United States. God forbid if anything happens to him. I don't want anything to happen to him other than he get converted. But you see, I know what I hear is not real, because he says something on a Sunday and does what he wants on a Monday. Because he appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But let me tell you this, okay? Very important, okay? The church can do the same thing. The church that I love, the church that gave me faith, can do the same thing. All right? We take the abortion issue. The church proclaims herself to be pro-life. And yet, as pro-life as we are, Bishop Darcy from Fort Wayne, Indiana, could have stopped Obama from receiving that award. But he didn't. So, you know, what will the world tell us? It's the lust of the eyes, it's the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yeah. You know, oh yeah, he went to the prayer vigil. Isn't that nice? But he could have stopped it. You know what I'm saying? So, you see, it's not only Obama. It's you see, when the church becomes the world, let me tell you, it's pretty bad. Let me tell you what we've received about priests that are disabled, okay? This is an interesting thing. Okay, priests that are disabled. Now, I remember a beautiful priest. You will hear me saying this over and over again. His name was Father John DiFrugio. Father John DiFrugio was ordained by Cardinal Medeiros. Father John just died in the last year. When he was ordained, he took a nervous breakdown. Cardinal Medeiros took him under his wing, paid him. He lived in a private house and did what he could. He was a beautiful man. He suffered so tremendously. I know, I suffer from emotional illness. But his was tremendously a disability. Cardinal Medeiros continued to pay this man until the man died. You want to know why a mother takes care of her children? He was one of the anointed to be the priest of God. Isn't that wonderful? And from the very day of his ordination, the poor man got sick. Okay? The very day of the ordination, the poor man got sick. This is real. So we continued to pay him into the administration of Cardinal Sean. But now the diocese has come out with something, you know, and saying that if you don't work, you don't get paid. So if you're disabled, you've got to go to a Social Security disability, and we'll give you a little stipend. They told us, at least in the last letter, that the stipend was $200, all right? Imagine a priest living on $200 a month. Imagine your mother living on $200 a month. Can't do it. They haven't told us what the stipend will be now, okay? They are keeping this a little secret right now, all right? But the last thing they wrote was $200, okay? But you know what they're saying is very interesting. They're saying, no work, no pay. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like the world, the pride of life, that money is the lust of the eyes. Oh, but what if we go bankrupt? I'd rather go bankrupt, boys and girls, giving the sick priest what is his due than to save money and not go bankrupt and just hold off bankruptcy for another couple of years. Because God will honor us caring for the sick priest, okay? You understand what I'm talking about, boys and girls? This is the church. You see, what Obama is doing, the church is doing. Because you want to know what? The church is the world. The lust of the eyes. The lust of power. The pride of life. And you know what? If this ever happens, I will expose it. I will go to the papers. I will expose this. This is the anointed of the Lord. If people are emotionally sick or physically sick, I want to tell you, a mother takes care of her children. She doesn't throw them under the bus. That's what a mother does. A mother takes care of her children. She doesn't throw them under the bus. And you know what? If our mother church does not take care of her anointed priests, they're going to hear from me. They're going to hear from me, and I will go to the Globe, and I will go to the New York Times, and I will let them all know that thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, only when you put up. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been putting up for seven priests for the last 30 years. I've been putting up for seven priests, not for one, for seven, 7 days a week. That's what I've been putting up, okay? I don't get seven salaries. I don't get seven salaries, but I've been putting up for seven priests. And I don't do it begrudgingly. I do it because there's a need for people to be pastored, and that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what it's all about. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand just does work for money. Okay? I'm not a hired hand. And I'm not telling you I'm the good shepherd. That's Jesus. But I'm going to tell you I'm watching the church. I'm going to have my eye on the church. And if the church of Boston literally screws those priests that are unable to work, there's going to be trouble. And I will cause there to be a big problem. Because a mother takes care of her children. This is real now. We've got this from on high. You know, it's going to take place in July 1st, the new fiscal year. We just don't know what the priest that is disabled is going to get. They have to apply for disability. You know how long it takes to get disability? Sometimes a year and a half, sometimes 2 years. You've got to be approved. So let the state take care of our priests. What are they going to live on? The last sum that they said was $200. Now, I don't know what they're going to go up to. I'm sure it'll be $200 or more, but can your mother live on $200 a month? Oh, yeah, they'll be living in a rectory, getting stipends. Isn't that nice? Why don't they send them down to the common and sell pencils for the Archdiocese of Boston? You see what I'm saying? If you can't take care of your own, you better close, because you're no good. But yet in May, at the end of May, we're all going to be singing,
Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Oh, yeah. We'll be singing that while the couple are being ordained. And then I'll be saying, the footnote is,
no checky, no shirty, no worky, no payee, sicky, outy.
This is real. But you see, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. This is the way the world works. I am not of the world, okay? I'd opted out of the world when I was baptized and became a Catholic Christian. I opted out not to be of the world, but to be in the world. I opted out. That's what Jesus told me to do. Now, if the institutional church wants to be the world, then they're going to hear from Father DiLorenzo. Oh, yeah, they're going to hear from Father DiLorenzo. They're going to hear from me. And I'm going to do this in honor of Father John DiFruzio. You know, the institutional church will tell you that suffering can be redemptive when joined to the cross. That's true. Then why doesn't she suffer for her broken priests and give them the right salary? You see, hypocrisy is not only in Obama. It's in the church. And you know, the prophet was always called to show the hypocrisy. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm not a hypocrite, okay? I'm not going to tell you that. I am a hypocrite. I am hypocritical in many ways. And God holds me to my standards, you know, that I preach. I'm a sinner. But I'm going to tell you, it is a blatant evil not to care for our broken priests. Because if we really believed in redemptive suffering, then they are the powerful tools to change the things in the diocese as they give their suffering to Christ and offer it to Him. Do you think people like to suffer? Let me just tell you, the last week has been the most painful week of all my life, almost. All right? But you know what? I keep on moving by the grace of God, doing at least what I can. Thank God I don't need the money of the diocese. In all reality, I don't need their money. I don't need it. But I'm going to tell you, I am so disappointed in the Church of Boston. I am so disappointed that we do not want to care for our own. Then we say we are pro-life. Yeah, we're pro-life, all right. We march in Washington with balloons. Isn't that a nice thing? Isn't that a nice thing? Well, you'll hear more about this in the days to come, boys and girls, because I will not let this go without the world finding out. Because I care for priests. I am a priest. And the broken priests need to be cared for more than the young, handsome ones. Because Jesus is always for the underdog. Do you understand that? Jesus is always for the underdog. Let me tell you that I do need to hear from you because we are not able to pay our bills without your help, and it's as simple as that. Your money gives us the ability to pay our bills, and we are $16,000 in the hole to pay April's bills. So, one of these days, if you snap me on and I'm not here, you'll know that the bills weren't paid. And I don't say these things to threaten you. I will not incur debt, because you know why? I'm a priest, and I preach, and that's my job. I'm going to be in Coventry, Connecticut. Tonight is Tuesday. It's the 19th of May. And tomorrow is Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Coventry, Connecticut. As the Italians would call it, Narighetta. I will be in Narighetta tonight. Coventry, Narighetta. Tonight at 7 o'clock. And there will be healing by the power of God. And I'll be preaching. We'll be worshiping the Lord. Coventry, Connecticut at that St. Mary's in Coventry, Connecticut. Narighetta. Say it. Narighetta. Connecticut. That's how my little grandmother used to say Connecticut. Where are you going? I'm going to Narighetta. Oh, Narighetta, huh? Okay, we will be at Coventry, Connecticut, St. Mary's Parish tonight at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock today and tomorrow. That's the 19th and the 20th of May, Tuesday and Wednesday. So I wish you'd join us. If you hear me in the Springfield, Hartford area, you're not very far from that, okay? And we're going to be preaching, and we're going to see God do miracles, because Jesus said that signs like these would follow those who believe. They would lay hands upon the sick, and they would be healed. I happen to believe Jesus. Okay, that's for that. Let me also tell you that on the night before Pentecost at St. Mary's at 7 o'clock in Waltham, Charismatic Renewal will be having their big gala of Pentecost, and that's with Bishop Alloway. You're welcome to come, and that's whatever. I just said it, Pentecost Eve. And you know, Jimmy the Roofer is looking for work. You know, raindrops keep falling on my head. And he is really inexpensive, and my Lord, he does the best job. And this is the number to dial at the Holy Rosary, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. That's for Jimmy the Roofer. And don't forget to our ministry so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Continue to pray for the church. Because you know what? It's God's, it's Christ's body. And I don't like to see what's happening. It breaks my heart. But I won't tolerate it, okay?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.